President Donald Trump is in Beijing for a summit that will define the most consequential geopolitical relationship in the world today. Emmanuel Macron visits Africa to reset France's ties with the continent, seeking alliances well beyond its former colonies. And in the United States, we look at the local library for evidence of the public spirit that Mr. Macron's countryman, Alexis de Tocqueville, chronicled with his 19th century survey, Democracy in America. It's Thursday, May 14th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Krista Case Bryant. First, our curation of news briefs from our writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. Benjamin Netanyahu secretly visited the UAE. The Israeli Prime Minister's office hailed the March 26th meeting with United Arab Emirates President Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed as a historic breakthrough. When the U.S.-Iran war started, Tehran barraged Abu Dhabi and Dubai with retaliatory strikes. Israel assisted the UAE with an Iron Dome aerial defense system, according to Mike Huckabee, the U.S. ambassador to Israel. The UAE had attempted to engage with Iran through diplomatic cooperation. Now, it wants the U.S. to restrict Iran's nuclear capabilities and ensure that Iran doesn't place any tolls on ships passing through the Strait of Hormuz. Drug overdoses in the U.S. fell for the third consecutive year. Provisional data by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention show a 13.9% decline in drug overdoses in 2025 compared with the previous year. That's a return to roughly the pre-pandemic level of 2019. Despite the decrease, almost 70,000 people died from overdoses in 2025. Arizona, Colorado, and New Mexico all saw increases above 10%. Reasons for the overall decline might include easier access to naloxone used to reverse drug overdoses, which is now available without a prescription. Last year, researchers at the University of Michigan found that young people are increasingly abstaining from using illicit drugs. Also, the Senate confirmed Kevin Warsh to serve as chair of the Federal Reserve. The vote was heavily partisan, with only one Democrat, Senator John Fetterman of Pennsylvania, voting to confirm Mr. Warsh, who was nominated by President Donald Trump. Republican Senator Tom Tillis of North Carolina had blocked Mr. Warsh's confirmation until the Justice Department agreed to drop its criminal investigation of former Fed Chair Jerome Powell. Mr. Powell has said he will remain on the central bank's Board of Governors. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. With an unfinished war in Iran, which is also unpopular at home, President Donald Trump is in Beijing this week looking for a big political win. But it's China that holds many of the cards in this complex relationship. Ned Temko writes from London for The Monitor. GOP Senator Bill Cassidy of Louisiana voted to convict Donald Trump in the 2021 impeachment trial and has pushed back on public health matters. How he fares in Saturday's primary will signal the clout of the Make America Healthy Again movement, as well as the president's hold on his party. Story Hinckley reports from Metairie, Louisiana, for The Monitor. France is trying to bolster its fading influence in Africa with promises of big investment and equal partnership, but its colonial history continues to create road bumps. Ryan Lenora Brown reports from Johannesburg for The Monitor. Appointing veteran official David Venturella as acting director of U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement could signal a continued pivot by the Trump administration toward quieter, targeted enforcement to reduce public backlash against immigration policy. Sarah Matusik reports for The Monitor. Public libraries have long been among America's civic gathering spaces, helping to combat social isolation and bridge digital divides. Even as they struggle under budgetary constraints, they are reinventing themselves as foundational spaces for teaching democracy. Scott Baldoff and Melanie Stetson Freeman report for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on Taiwan's lesson for the U.S.-China summit. Taiwan's elected officials were not given a seat at this week's summit in Beijing between the American and Chinese leaders. Yet the Taiwanese people, or rather, their resolve to run a free country by respecting individual sovereignty, were very much there. So much so that China's overall stated goal for the summit was to gain the United States' help in breaking Taiwan's democratic spirit. The specific requests by Chinese leader Xi Jinping are that U.S. President Donald Trump oppose any attempt by Taiwan to officially declare independence, and that he end U.S. military sales to the second freest nation in Asia. Whether Mr. Trump acts on those requests is almost secondary to the fact that Mr. Xi indirectly admits he is failing to break Taiwan's civic identity of individual freedom and inherent rights. Despite years of trying to subtly influence the Taiwanese by incentives or coercion, Mr. Xi has not subsumed the island nation to bring it under the control of the Chinese Communist Party. The party fears that its 1.4 billion subjects on the mainland might be influenced by Taiwan's 23 million people, especially in their rejection of the CCP's ideology that sovereignty resides with the party, because it believes ordinary Chinese don't know what's good for themselves or the country. Already, one-third of people in China oppose an armed invasion of Taiwan, according to a 2023 survey. Only 1% support an immediate war. The fact that Beijing spares no effort to pressure governments into erasing Taiwan's existing sovereignty makes clear that despite all its power, Xi Jinping's CCP cannot marginalize Taiwan alone. It requires our help to do it, wrote Taipei-based American journalist Chris Horton in Nikkei last month. After more than three decades of democratic rule, Taiwan's confidence in demonstrating that sovereignty is inherent to individuals, not the state, has made it a global example. In a speech last year to a group at the European Parliament in Belgium, Taiwan's Vice President Zhao Bikim said one of the country's goals is to help all democracies thrive. "We are not just defending what we have, but building what we want the future to look like, where free people and societies are more connected, more united, and more capable, and of course, stronger together," she said. Taiwan now ranks as the world's 12th most democratic country, according to the Economist Intelligence Unit, and many of its economic statistics per capita surpass those of China. The bedrock for such success lies in an understanding that each individual's dignity and intelligence are the basis for building a harmonious and caring society. The founder of this newspaper acknowledged that human willpower may infringe the rights of man. But, Mary Baker Eddy also wrote, "Know then that you possess sovereign power to think and act rightly, and that nothing can dispossess you of this heritage." The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how immortality is not a far-off concept, but is reality here and now, and we discern this more as we draw closer to God through prayer. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Mackenzie Farkas, Victoria Hoffman, and Tim Malone.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, United States of America. Copyright 2026.